been there before. Maybe I can get there again. This one, look out, hammer to right field and gone.
Guess who?
Colson Montgomery has really found his stroke here in Toledo as he turns around a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and it's 1-0 Charlotte, the fifth consecutive game in which they have scored at least a run in the first inning.
Matt, I never even got to tell you that Colson Montgomery comes in today 9-for-18 with 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, a triple, 2 doubles. He has been a thorn in the backside of Toledo.
And he has 111 off the bat at 340 feet.
Oh, you gotta love it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. We're delighted to welcome in Josh Nelson. He, of course, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast with Jim Margulis and James Fegan. Love all those guys and their great work. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Josh, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I am doing well. It's nice to finally hear some Colson Montgomery highlights because prior to Toledo, it was getting pretty dire.
You know, and we've been talking about it. We've decided that now's the time. The guy is named, you know, the player of the week for whatever's going on. Just, like, let's find out. Bring him up and let's see because I don't know what you do with him if he doesn't make it at this point. I don't know where you go with him next, what kind of Arizona spa workout you can do that will change anything. He's having a good week. Let's see him.
Yeah, I think for the White Sox and the conversation with Chris Getz, this is a bit different than Tim Elko. And the reason is that Tim Elko was red hot, and Andrew Vaughn was providing nothing for you at first base.
Right.
The White Sox are getting positive production right now from Chase Mydroth at shortstop. And based on all the StatCast data, Chase Mydroth is an above-average shortstop. Believe it or not, Lenin Sosa is one of your better offensive players as far as in terms of hits. He is one of the team leaders in hits this season. It's not a sexy war, and it's not a sexy way to runs create a plus for Lenin Sosa, but he's given you some positive offensive results. What the conversation is for Chris Getz in the White Sox front office is, one, why is Vinny Capra on this team? You could easily replace Capra and Colson Montgomery, but Capra's barely playing. This puts a lot of pressure on why is Josh Rojas playing as much as he has? And as we speak this morning before the Dodgers series, Rojas is worth negative 0.6 war, according to Fangraphs. He's got a 41 weighted runs created plus. So for listeners, he's 59% below league average as an offensive player. I understand the value of leadership. Defensively, Rojas has not been great this year at third base, which has been a surprise. If you call up Colson Montgomery, Mully, he's got to play every day, to your point. So if he plays every day, whose at-bats is he taking away? It's going to be a conversation of, are you okay, Chris Getz, that Josh Rojas, your big free agent signing to provide veteran leadership, suddenly takes Vinny Capra's spot on being the bench guy while Colson Montgomery gets, I assume, all the starts at shortstop, Mydroth moves over to second base, and Sosa and Vargas split time between first and third.
Yeah, I don't think any of your decision-making can include anything to do with worry about Capra or Rojas or guys who won't be here after this season. And you run the risk of Colson Montgomery running into another dry patch in the minors that would raise some real big concerns. If he's going to fail, and he will again, but it's better for him to do that at the major league level. You were waiting for a hot streak. You're waiting for him to get going again and look like the prospect you think he can become. So if you're Getz, you have to, I think, look at it from the standpoint of, regardless of what happened in the offseason and whatever I promised these veterans who aren't going to be here for a long period of time, everything changed when I started bringing up guys at an accelerated rate. Kyle Teal, Grant Taylor, all those guys are here faster than people expected. Colson Montgomery should be next, and it's easy to justify if you're Chris Getz.
Yes, the only counter that I could see Getz push back, Haw, is if he's like, I need to give Rojas two more weeks to improve his trade value. Because if he doesn't get any better, we're talking DFA territory. And then that's a, I don't know if it's a difficult conversation with Jerry Reinsdorf, but it's like, yeah, here's my big position player free agent signing from the past offseason, and I cut him after 60 games played with us. I think that that might be the only counter that the White Sox front office would have. But again, to your point, it's not exactly a strong one.
Yeah, I just don't know what the future holds for Colson Montgomery. I mean, he seems like a guy that what is he, like a AA+ player? I mean, and I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, where is he succeeding? He succeeded in Arizona after a failed season in the minor leagues a year ago, and you were waiting for him to be your starting shortstop, and you're still waiting. And you know, I know he had the back injury, whatever, he went down. I just don't know what you're going to do with him if you don't try him or give him a chance. It just feels like you've been waiting on him for years. His time has come, and he's not coming along with it.
Yeah, I think you raised good points regarding Montgomery and the future for the White Sox at shortstop. From our reporting, it doesn't sound like the White Sox are 100% sold that Chase Mydroth is the future shortstop for the Chicago White Sox. He's going to be on the White Sox, and he's going to be part of this new rebuild core. But is that going to be probably more at second base than shortstop? Probably. So that leaves the position open for Colson Montgomery to take the shortstop position, but he hasn't taken the reins.
Yep.
And now it's five good games. So this is what we're talking about here and why there's a lot of hysteria on social media. Five good games, and all of a sudden it's like, let's give Colson Montgomery a shot. And that's fine from my perspective, but Colson Montgomery has yet to walk against a left-handed pitcher, and the left-handed numbers are very ugly in AAA this year, but he doesn't see a lot of left-handed pitching. It's mostly against right-handed pitching for all of his offensive production. That would change in late in games in the major leagues. And I could see him really struggling past the fifth inning to get base hits when the left-handed relievers are coming in. So all of his production is going to have to come out of his first two plate appearances against what I assume the White Sox would have him start again in games against right-handed starting pitching. If Montgomery cannot be a shortstop, right, whether that's he's not hitting well enough or he's not playing defense well enough, the White Sox don't have a plan B in the minor leagues right now. And your plan B is Chase Mydroth. So you will be entering the 2026 season with gigantic questions about what is the future at shortstop and center field. That is a very difficult place to be for any Major League Baseball front office, and trying to take it a team that suffered 121 losses and get them back to respectability, unless Chris Getz turns to Jerry Reinsdorf, and let's be honest, Justin Ishbia, and ask them, can we spend some cash to find a veteran to hold down these two spots for the next 2 to 3 years? Because we don't have an internal solution in the next 2 to 3 years to take these spots over.
What do you think the internal plan is for Noah Schultz? And is there any chance that Braden Montgomery, who just got named to the Futures game, will be in Chicago by the end of the year?
Braden Montgomery, no. Let's see if he can pick up his production Winston-Salem to merit some time in Birmingham in the second half this year. I think that would be a good finish spot for him because, again, he started the season in Kannapolis.
Right.
Noah Schultz, we could see Schultz in September depending on how many innings that he has left, but that would be strictly bullpen in which we would see him for an inning at max two, but it depends on how many innings he's got left in that arm entering September.
Josh, what did they do with Luis Robert? You know, Bob Nightingale keeps writing that there is 0%, 100% chance they get rid of him this year and they don't pick up the option. I don't know what his value is. I mean, it's just so frustrating to watch his season and to see where he's gone as a player.
One, you got to get him healthy. Like, he's got to return soon. He's not going to play in this road trip. I don't know if he even traveled with the team to Los Angeles or Denver. If you got a hamstring issue,
right.
I can't imagine going on an airplane would help with that particular issue. So if he can return for the final homestand before the All-Star break against either the Blue Jays or the Guardians, I guess that's a positive. But if you want to give him another week to make sure he's fully healed, he could rejoin the team after the All-Star break at Pittsburgh. Thoughts and prayers. Maybe that's the only thing that the White Sox front office can do at this moment. You are hoping that he has a very hot two-week stretch prior to the deadline that impresses other teams. But other teams are going to make it very clear to Chris Getz and the text messages and the phone calls. Just ignore those options. We're not going to pick them up either. So we're not going to give you much for Luis Robert, but we also don't want to pay the buyout. So
right.
That's a $2 million buyout that the White Sox would have to include cash in hoping to increase whatever return they get back in prospects. But this is the worst-case scenario for the Chicago White Sox and Luis Robert. They're really hoping they could get some type of return similar to Garrett Crochet during the winter meetings, and that's not even going to come close.
No.
Josh, quickly, in the minute we have left, what do you think the plan is for Noah Syndergaard?
Let's see if he can actually throw a baseball without being hurt. Like, if he can go 40 pitches at first, great. See if he can go up to 60, great. See if he can go to 80. If he can do those things and the White Sox have a need in the starting rotation because of injury, maybe we would see Syndergaard make some appearances for the White Sox. But right now, this is a desperation attempt to see if a very successful in the past Major League starter can actually throw a baseball without being hurt.
Good God. Josh, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.